grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Mysterious God, source of every blessing, you showed forth your glory and led many to faith by the works of your Son, who brought gladness and salvation to his people. Transform us by the Spirit of his love, that we may find our life together in him, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated as we now hear from our Holy Scriptures.
The first reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in every one. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To no one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
We're very pleased to sing the appointed psalm for the day, Psalm 36, and we'd like for you to join us in the antiphon. So the words are, "In your light, O God, we see light." And we'll sing that to you, and you can sing it back to us. You can remain seated.
See light, for with you is our way.
Gospel acclamation is found on page 7 in your worship booklets, and I invite you to please stand as you feel comfortable. The Holy Gospel according to John, the 2nd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the 3rd day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. And when the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were 6 stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. And when the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him. This is the Holy Gospel. Praise to you, Christ. You may be seated. Jesus did this, the first of his miracles, which in the Gospel of John they call signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This story of the miracle, his first miracle, is the focus of the second Sunday after Epiphany. Now remember, Epiphany means manifestation. It's the stuff of God being made known among us. It's what we focus on during these weeks between the 12th day of Christmas and Ash Wednesday. Things like, how was God revealed through Jesus' human presence? And how did Jesus reveal himself to his friends, to strangers, even to his enemies? Last week we had Jesus' baptism, and when it comes to Epiphany's, not bad, right? The sky breaks open, a dove spirit thing comes down, and the voice of God says, "This is my son." Not bad when it comes to Epiphany's. Now, this week, the first of Jesus' miracles, probably his most famous, he turns water into really, really good wine. Not bad at all when it comes to Epiphanies. Now, as much as I would love to preach on the abundance of this story. You were paying attention, right? There are six stone jars that were used for water, right? Six jars, which equaled 120 gallons of really good, really expensive wine, which today, if you were sort of to estimate how much that would have cost, figure over $100,000, all right? I would love to talk about the abundance of this story. Only there's been this little nagging feeling this week, this little poking at me as I've thought about this text, that I need to talk about the miracle itself. Well, I'm feeling called to talk about miracles in general. Because if you have an inner skeptic like I do, it's hard to get to the abundance part of this story unless we deal with the crazy miracle part of the story, right? So, miracles. To believe or not to believe, that is the question. We can all agree that Jesus was a pretty cool dude, right? But what about the miraculous stuff? Real or not real? Well, first, let's start with the definition of miracle. Miracle is a thing that causes wonder because it's extraordinary. It's a phenomenon. Well, so far, me and my little skeptic heart, we're in. But then the description goes like this, according to the Ankle Bible Dictionary, which I have learned to trust over the years. A miracle is an extraordinary phenomena that is inexplicable in terms of familiar everyday causation. It seems when a miracle occurs that there must be some superhuman force or agency at work. Now that's where we struggle, right? No one wants to look like a fool, so unless there's a real-life earthly explanation, we are not buying. Now, a little bit of history. My inner skeptic showed up late in life. As a young person, I was prone to wonder and transfixed by awe. I've loved the mysterious and the inexplicable. During my preteen years, now this is going to date me, there was a show called That's Incredible. Anybody remember it? That's Incredible, the early 80s. It was a reality TV, like stuff you'll find on YouTube, content of crazy emails that fly around the internet. It was human feats, crazy facts, novelties of history, animal tricks, all packed into an hour of lifetime entertainment, right? My family was glued to the TV when That's Incredible was on. I was hooked. It was almost like a high, learning all this stuff and seeing all this stuff. I wanted to believe the unbelievable. And then middle school happened. And I will tell you that naive, believing kids get eaten alive. I was tricked and duped more times than I can count. Even into adulthood, people picked up on my earnest inclinations towards belief, and I was the butt of jokes at best and looked down upon for my silly optimism for worst. No one wants to look like a fool, so I learned to be a skeptic. I learned to doubt and to question and to challenge. And I will tell you, I am grateful to learn those things because I am a better person for it. Learning to question and to challenge things, it's a life skill that we all need. Only I still believe that believing in miracles is important because they're not just about experiencing wonder and awe. They're about seeing God working out divine purpose in and around us. As the Gospel of John draws to a close, the intention of this book is clearly laid out at the end of chapter 20. It says, now, Jesus did many other signs, and that means miracles in John's language. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that in believing, you may have life in his name. Now, with this connection to believing and miracles, miracles and believing, believing and miracles, spinning around in my head this week, perhaps it's already made the connection in some of yours, the soundtrack to Prince of Egypt. Well, actually, a particular tune has been going through my head for days now. The movie, The Prince of Egypt, is the story of Moses freeing God's people from the hand of Egypt. And the song comes just as the 10 plagues have come and gone from the land. Pharaoh has told the Hebrew slaves that after generations of bondage, they are free to go. And God's people, well, they can hardly believe it. So Moses' sister, Miriam, is singing at this point in the movie. And slowly, you see people kind of finding courage to leave their slave ghetto and to move out toward freedom. And she says, well, she sings, "Now we are not afraid, although we know there is much to fear. We were moving mountains before we knew we could." And then there's that hypnotic melody line. "There can be miracles when you believe. Though hope gets frail, it's hard to kill. Who knows what miracles you can achieve when you believe. Somehow you will." I had not lost that. "You will when you believe." It's this strange lyric. Who knows what miracles you can achieve when you believe? And then she says, "You will when you believe." Who knows what miracles you can achieve when you believe? Well, you will. But when you believe. Now, I don't know what writer and composer Stephen Schwartz has as far as divine insight or connection. The man did write the music for Godspell, right? So I figure there's a little something going on there. But there's this connection that he writes about between miracles and belief. And our gospel text today says that Jesus' miracle revealed his glory, and then the disciples believed. And then the end of the gospel, as I read for you, says that the stories of Jesus' signs and wonders were written down so that we might go on believing. Now, when I first really fell into faith, I was in my 20s. And I say fell into faith because it was much like falling in love. It seemed that there were miracles at every turn. I saw God moving all over the place. It was intoxicating. It was like this high, and I was hooked. You can ask my dad. It freaked him out. Only I think I was more addicted to the wonder and awe of it all, so much so that I became immobilized, not wanting to move unless I got some sort of divine sign. Ever been there? And I can still remember the time when I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed over a decision I needed to make during college of whether or not to join this group or not. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and I was in turmoil because I wasn't hearing anything. I wanted some miraculous sign to point the way, and instead I got silence. I began to sense God saying to me, kid, I love you. I trust you. Choose what you want. It's not that big of a deal. Use the faculties that I've given you. Take some risks. Grow in wisdom and strength by what you learn along the way. I heard God saying to me, you got this. And I gotta tell you, it was like somebody had kicked the training wheels out from under me, and I didn't like how it felt. I felt exposed, and I was afraid. I didn't want to make decisions on my own. We as a people want divine instruction. We want clear proof. We want our miracles to be big and dependable. But they're more, well, sort of a quiet thing. Which is strange, right? They're miracles. But think about it. When Jesus turned water into wine, 120 gallons of water into wine, and not just like Franzia, but like really good wine, right? Like crazy change your life wine, nobody really noticed. Not even the wine steward. It says that some of the servants knew because they had to cart the jugs of water. And his disciples saw and believed. But as far as the whole town that was gathered there for the wedding reception, nobody knew. Miracles are quiet. I don't know, like almost like translucent, kind of like trying to grasp at steam. Like you can feel the moisture on your hands, but it's hard to hang on to. They're not the building blocks of one's faith. Miracles will not hold up to scrutiny from the outside. But for those who take this leap of faith, and it is a leap, for those who risk believing, miracles are this spark of reminder that God is indeed moving in the world around us, and it kind of makes us giddy on the inside. Through the imagination of composer Stephen Schwartz, this person, Moses' sister, Miriam, asks the question, who knows what miracles we can achieve when we believe? Hear that question again. Who knows what miracles we can achieve when we believe? Now, again, this is not the Holy Scriptures, but I'm trying to hear what God is saying, perhaps through this composer. Is it possible that we are actually participants in the bringing forth of miracles? That somehow our movement toward justice and hope and restoration, that we are part of bringing miracles to pass, that God actually can and does work through us. Now here's the kicker. It means that we are going to risk looking like fools sometimes. We will take risks that do not make sense to people. We will be out there where others can judge us as naive or silly optimists. And I believe it's happening as we speak. I believe in so many aspects of our lives, people are trying to imagine a new future, and the world is clamping down on us, teaching us to be cynical, convincing us time and again that we really should be afraid, that we should poke holes in one another's dreams so we don't fall prey to disappointment. But I believe that God is calling us to a new way. Unexpected, lavish provision of wine is only one small reflection of this. Signs are all around. There are healings. There are restored relationships. There are unexpected, life-giving opportunities. We will experience wonder and awe, and it will spark our curiosity, and we will think, is it a fluke? And that's what the world will want you to believe, that it's just a fluke. But we will keep wondering, can God's presence in this miraculous thing that I'm experiencing be trusted? Especially when so many other of my prayers have gone unanswered. But remember, miracles are not the stuff of building blocks. They will not provide universal, unquestionable proof. But miracles are the spark of life and love, and they are reminding us, do not be afraid. God is here, stirring in our midst. Find courage. Take the leap. Believe. And do something. Do something miraculous. Amen. We now join in singing our prayers this evening. It's found on page 21 in your booklets. Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, O Lord, with all those who weep. Give your angels and saints charge over all who sleep. Tend your ailing ones
in your love, Lord.
Rest your weary ones
in your love, Lord.
Bless your dying ones
in your love, Lord. Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, O Lord, with all those who
suffering ones
in your love, Lord.
Heal afflicted ones
in your love, Lord.
Shield your joyous ones
in your love, Lord. Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, O Lord, with all those who weep. Give your angels and saints charge over all who sleep.
Hold your grieving ones
in your love, Lord.
Raise your fallen ones
in your love,
your broken ones
in your love, Lord. Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, O Lord, with all those who weep. Give your angels and saints charge over.
Guard your little ones
in your love, Lord.
Guide your searching ones
in your love, Lord.
Grant us all your peace
in your love, Lord. Watch, O Lord, with all those awake.
Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting that you hear us, that you love us, and that you work through us to bring about life in this world. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. The peace of God be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you to please stand and offer a word of peace to those around you.
Thank you. Back Friday.
Announcements about this. I'm fully aware that if you are in the Holden zone, you probably do not have money in your pockets for offering. But I do want to let you know that we will be collecting an offering this evening. It's going towards the Tavern Learning Center. It is an amazing organization that is helping adults with disabilities transition from high school into adulthood and teaching them all kinds of marvelous skills. So 100% of our offering goes towards that. So if you have it on, you know that there's a basket pass, but if you're like, oh, I don't have it with me but would like to give later, we can make that work. So we continue to worship now with our tithes and offerings. Worship continues with the song on page 9 in your worship booklets. Let us
sing.
be seated. I'm trusting that the bread and wine are coming. So beautiful. Hello. Thank you. Maybe I'll just tell you a little bit. Oh, no, here it comes. All right. Thank you. And I'll need a chalice, too, when you get a chance. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you. Let us pray. We bless you, O God, gracious and merciful. You bring forth food from the earth and you nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger, that all may know your care. And prepare us now to feast upon your mercy, Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Amen. I'm going to have you stand again. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and good, everywhere and always, to give you thanks and praise, Holy God, mighty and immortal, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Sharing our life, he lived among us, revealing our boundless love, a light to all the nations, and life for every people. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, you alone are God. The universe declares your praise beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath.
We praise you, O God.
Generations bless your faithfulness through the waters, across the wilderness, by night and day, out of exile and into the future.
We bless you, O God.
We give you thanks for your Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, and with us now.
We thank you, O God.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering his love for us on the way, at the table, and to the end, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
We pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering upon this bread, within this cup, among your people throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, for your mercy through Jesus Christ, by your Spirit in your church and without end.
Amen.
around this table by the Holy Spirit, we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Again, you are invited to pray in the version that you are most comfortable. Let us pray. Our God in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. Amen. This is Christ's table and not our own. All are welcome to the feast of life. Come, for all has been prepared. You may be seated. So just a quick word about what you will find as you come up. There will be a line here of communion servers. The first will be a small vessel that will have gluten-free wafers in it. Then I will be standing holding the bread and will tear off a piece for you if you so choose. Then will be this chalice here that you can either choose to dip your bread in by intinction, or you can actually take a sip of it if that is your preference. Then the next place will be a basket with cups, and then you can either have wine or juice poured for you. And then finally, there'll be a basket there where you can place your empty cup when you are finished. And please know if you'd like to just come forward for a blessing, I would love to offer you a blessing, and you can either just kind of keep your hands at your side or cross them across your chest. I do ask that children lift their hands nice and high because people commune at all different ages, which I just love, and I want to make sure that I don't miss out on somebody and give them a blessing instead. So again, all has been prepared. You're invited to come.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. We join in singing the hymn on page 16. I invite you to please stand. Let us pray. Creator of the stars of night, we give you thanks for this gift of life. Increase our faith and open our eyes that we might recognize Jesus and all whom you call us to love and serve. Abide with us as darkness deepens, and be our hope and highest joy, until at last with all your saints we dwell in your unfailing light. Amen. Amen. Holy God, blessed Trinity, strengthen your faith, increase your hope, deepen your love, and give you peace this night and always. Amen. Amen. Go in peace, rest in God, rise to serve.
Thanks be to God.